Well, good morning, Emerge Church. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, Pastor Nina, for having me here, for inviting me. Such a privilege to be so far away from home and still feel at home. Isn't that amazing? My wife is preaching today as well because we're both leading our church, but she will be preaching in 10 hours. So I will tell the story. I will say it in the right way. They actually did warn me that the Aussies like to joke about Irish people, so I'll take it. I'll take it all. I'm fine with that. We don't mind. Today is St. Patrick's weekend in Ireland, so we can have a party on our expense. I want to introduce you to my family. I think we're going to have a slide. So this is my wife, Patricia, my son, Nico. He's actually considering coming to Australia for his studies. I don't know if I should be happy about it. He might get to meet somebody here and stay forever. Who knows? I don't know. I'll trust in the Lord that he's going to lead my son. Before I came to Brisbane, I was a few days in Perth. And I decided to have the full Aussie experience. So I went to the supermarket and I bought myself a little squeezy bottle of Vegemite. And you all want to hear the verdict. It was like a tar. No, I'm messing. I actually enjoyed it. I actually kept coming back and squeezing a little bit on my finger and just licking it. I'm bringing it back home with me. I want to talk to you today about living a victorious life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hand, but I'm going to guess that most of us would like to, or all of us, would like to live our life in victory. And I'm not going to hold you until the end to give you the secret, because the secret is in the title. The way to victory is through obedience. And you're going to find out how Jesus modeled it for us, and you're going to find out what the Word of God talks about, the way to victory. Most of us would like to see our finances doing well, our education thriving, our careers just going the right path. We want to see a victory in our relationships. Nobody wants to be defeated in our relationships. Some of us wants to see victory against temptation. Some of us wants to see a victory against addiction or even distraction, which is so common these days. Our main passage is going to be from 1 John. But before I go to 1 John chapter 2, I want to look at what the author of Hebrews has to say about life in victory using Jesus as an example. So Hebrews 5 verse 8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect priest. Jesus learned obedience. It blows my mind. I don't know about you, but I never considered that Jesus had to learn obedience. And not just that he had to learn obedience, but that qualified him to fulfill the God-given mission that he came to fulfill. It qualified him to achieve what it was meant for him to achieve, what God desired for him to achieve. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. He fulfilled his call and became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Not for all who pray the sinner's prayer. Not for all who come to church every Sunday. Not for all who call themselves Christians, but for all who obey him. It seemed to be a theme. Can you see? Jesus achieved his greatest victory through obedience. And modeled it for us. The way to victory is through obedience. Let me tell you a little bit my story. So I was born in post-communist rural Poland. I never seen a person who looked different than I do. It's so good to be in such a diverse church. And now I lead a church that there is over 60 different nationalities. So God is so gracious. So I grew up in a time and in a place where there was no perspectives, when there was very little hope. And when there is very little hope, people tend to have silly ideas. And I had a lot of silly ideas at a very early age. I chose to do all the bad things that you shouldn't be doing and get myself into all the wrong things that you shouldn't be getting yourself to. Alcohol, drugs, girlfriends, crime. I got myself into court for vandalism. I would sneak out of the house when my parents were asleep to go to parties and discos. And when they asked me, I lied to cover up what I was doing. And I managed to do all of this before I turned 16. Please, don't get inspired by it. In all of that, I felt empty inside. I was looking for purpose. I was angry. I didn't like myself. I was full of complexes and really felt lost inside. But there was this question mark in me that would come up again and again, thinking, what is the purpose of all of this? And I would even pray, not knowing if God is real, saying, God, if you're real, I want to know, because it is impossible that this is all meaningless. I didn't know what the meaning was. I actually didn't like my life. I used to say, I didn't ask to be here. Why am I here? There has to be a reason. There has to be a purpose. But I didn't know what that purpose was. I had some friends, and I started to get worried about one of them. He was my best friend because he disappeared. He wasn't coming to parties with us. He wasn't drinking anymore. I'm thinking, what is happening with this boy? So I went to visit him, and I didn't know, but he dedicated his life to Jesus about 2 months early. And he wanted to tell me about Jesus, but he didn't have a clue how. So he asked me this question, very silly question. I don't recommend you evangelize this way, but it shows you how good God is when you obey him. He can cover up for our shortcomings. He said to me, have you ever imagined the spiritual world around us? And the moment he asked the question before I answered, it was like somebody turned on a TV for me. I saw angels in the room. They were just there in the room. And in a moment later, I saw demons being among them as well. So I had the full picture. But it's not what I saw mattered the most. What I felt was even more important. I felt the presence of God. I didn't know what it was, but it was the most powerful and amazing thing I've ever experienced. And I told you I tried many things before. Nothing could compare to that experience. It was like waves of electricity coming through my body, waves of love, power, acceptance, forgiveness. But in fairness, none of those words can explain, because it was unexplainable. And though nobody preached the gospel to me really, I knew it was God. I knew it was God. This was the most real experience I've experienced in my life, though nobody else could see. But I knew it was God. So since then, my journey with Jesus started, and it wasn't all rosy, I'm telling you. It was so many mistakes, so many failures. But this is when my journey with Jesus started. For the first few months, perhaps, of my walk with Jesus, I had two prayers. And they were so strong in my heart. They were burning in my heart. One was, God, please, do not allow me to walk away from you. Never let me leave you. Whatever happens, even if the world is going to tremble around me, even if I'm going to get silly, even if I'm going to fall, even if whatever happens, please don't ever allow me to walk away from you. And the second prayer was, please, don't let me just become content with sitting in a pew and doing nothing. I can't live my life like this. You are real. And if you are real, you have a purpose for me. So I want to live following your ways for me. I want to make a difference. I have no idea how you're going to do this, but I want to be living according to your will. I want to serve you. Fast forward a few years, probably 5 or 6 years, when I was 21, I met my wife. We met at a youth leaders conference. It's a good place to meet your spouse. We got married 6 months later. Just to give a bit of spice, I proposed 5 weeks after I met her at our third meeting. Again, don't repeat. I'm just saying this so you can laugh, but don't take example from it, okay? And a year and a half later, after we got married, we moved to Ireland. It's a long story how we got there, but in a nutshell, it was very clear that God was leading us to Ireland. God spoke to us in prophetic words. He spoke to us through our inner conviction, and we had no connections in Ireland. And I didn't speak a word of English, so it wasn't it making easier. But when you obey, he provides. When you stand in obedience and follow his voice, he looks after the bill, he looks after the journey, he looks after all the details. So we decided to buy the tickets, plane tickets to Ireland. We bought the flights to Dublin, which is the capital city. And we had no connections, no job aid, no housing, no accommodation, nothing. After we bought the flights, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from somebody who I knew working with me in the past, former colleague of mine. He never called me before. We were not great friends. He wasn't even a Christian. The phone rings. I was at home. I answer, pick up the phone, and we're just talking. And he said, Pavel, if you ever want to come to Ireland, come and stay with us. We'll help you out. I said, where are you in Ireland? He said, in Limerick. That was the first time I ever heard about Limerick. I had to go and check on the map where it is. So we went to Limerick. We arrived in Limerick on Friday, 1st of September, 2006. I'm not good with dates, but this is one of the days that I remember. On Sunday, 3 days later, we found the church that we are part of. So we did not start the church, but we became part of that church. It was a small church, maybe 50, 60 people, and already probably half of the church was from different nations. We came just at the end of the service, and as I mentioned, I didn't understand anything because I couldn't speak English, but we both had such a conviction that this is the right place for us to stay. So we never looked for a different church. It happened to be a CCI church, which is Christian Churches Ireland, just like yours, but with the other order of letters. That always confuses me. It happened to be a Pentecostal church. It happened that the pastor was a great man of God who loved the Lord and loved the people. So God prepared the place for us before we even knew where we're going. It didn't take a long time for us to get involved. In fact, my wife started her ministry the following week because there was a group of Polish people who didn't speak great English, and she was able to translate for them. And I would sit with them for maybe 2 or 3 months. Eventually, I realized, wait a minute, if I'm going to continue to do this, I'm never going to speak English. So I decided to sit apart from them because I said, no, I have to focus and I have to learn. So if you're here from another country, let me encourage you. You can. And if you're ever going to go and God is going to send you to a mission field, don't get too comfortable with your English. Start learning the language of the people who are there. So for years, we were serving under the Pastor Kevin, who was a local Irish Limerick man, proud of hurling team. If you don't know what hurling is, go and check out and Google it. It's the fastest outdoor sport. You can die every time you play. In 2021, Pastor Kevin got to his retirement age, and he prepared this for a long time, and he passed over the church to myself. But I wasn't ever called to ministry by myself. It was always with my wife. We are leaders together. We knew that before we met each other. We prayed for somebody who is going to be leaders in the kingdom with us. So for the last few years, we're both lead pastors of Abundant Life in Limerick. Do you need to be perfect to fulfill God's will in your life? Do you have to be perfect to live a victorious life? Well, absolutely not. Because if you would have to, there'd be no hope for any of us. At the start of my journey with Jesus, I told you I was a mess. I struggled so much. I struggled with purity in my sexual life. I was addicted to pornography. I couldn't have a normal relationship with girls because I didn't know how to talk to them without flirting. God had to heal me and teach me and disciple me how to live a healthy life. Because when you are broken before you get to know Jesus, it's not like everything gets fixed the moment you dedicate your life to him. So don't expect that one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be perfect. It's a journey. It's a dedication. It's a journey of obedience. And when you're obedient, you're not going to see how God is changing you step by step from little victory to big victory to another victory. And you're going to be transformed into his image. When I got married, I thought I'm going to be the best husband ever. You know, I love to cook. I love to do a lot of things at home. I'm thinking she's going to be blessed. That's what all my aunties told me, so I believed them. If your aunties are telling you that, don't believe them. When I got married, I realized how impatient I am. I realized how I lack self-control. That was terrifying. I didn't think I can be such a jerk. When I had my son, I realized how selfish I am. Because now, this little life requires all your time and attention. You can't be all about yourself anymore. So there's things that God is going to use in your life to show you what needs to be changed and transformed. But don't be discouraged. We walk from glory to glory, from transformation to transformation. This is a journey of obedience. Throughout all these lessons, I learned something for sure. The way to victory is through obedience. John, the one who walked closely with Jesus, also has a perspective on life and victory. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, I guess. Yes. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. John says, don't sin. I don't want you to sin. But if you do fall, remember Jesus is the way out. I love how real he is. I don't want you to sin, but he is realistic. So if you do sin, don't give up. Come back to Jesus. Jesus is the way to victory. Just stand up, come back, follow the way of obedience, and your life is going to be grand. Verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So how did Jesus live? Let's have a look at what Jesus said himself in John 13, 38. The Gospel of John now. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. We are to love others like Jesus loved us, unconditionally, sacrificially, selflessly, not for our gain, but for theirs. Let's come back to the letter of John, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. That more or less is a paraphrase by John of what Jesus said in the Gospels. John didn't come up with this. He was just paraphrasing the teaching of Jesus, who said, love others as I love you. And here's the little difference between what is commonly known. Not as you love yourself, because that could be flawed. As I have loved you, because that's flawless. Let me tell you a story. Or actually, before I tell you the story, let me challenge you a little bit more. So, if we love God, we live in the light. If we love others, we live in the light. If we hate somebody, we live in the darkness. I want you to think about a situation with your annoying neighbors. I want you to think about a situation when you're driving to work and this flipping driver annoys you. I want you to think about a situation that maybe you're talking with somebody and their political views are very different than yours. Or maybe you're seeing people who come from the places that you wouldn't want to mention. How do you feel? Because if we hate somebody, there is no love in us and there is no light in us. If we have hate towards anybody, even the biggest sinner, there is no light in us. But when we live in love, the light is in us. So let me tell you a story of two ladies, two young women from our church. Christina is from Russia. She was brought to Ireland during the war. I know you're far removed, but there is a Ukrainian-Russian war, which you're aware of. So she was brought to Ireland during the war, which is quite unusual, but she was so good in what she was doing that her healthcare company managed to bring her. She was a young professional, expert in her field. She was invited by her neighbors to our church. So she came for the first time. She's of an Orthodox background. So she was, for the first time, in an environment like this. A little bit strange, a little bit weird, a little bit crazy. But she stayed, and a person who helped her stay is Anna. Anna came and embraced her. Anna came and gave her a hug and welcomed her. What was very helpful is that Anna speaks fluent Russian. So there was a clear connection right from the start. And Anna made sure that Christina felt at home in our church. And Christina came back the following week and the following week. And maybe week number 3 or 4, she came up front and she dedicated her life to Jesus. But here's something I didn't tell you about Anna. Anna is a war refugee from Ukraine. At that time, her family and friends were still bombarded and killed by Russian army. She could very easily say, I'm not going to have anything to do with this woman. She could very easily say, or just don't say anything, but go the other way. But she knew what it means to love others like Jesus loves her. She knew what it means to live in obedience. And because of her obedience, the kingdom of God grew one person at a time. If you and me live in obedience, God's kingdom is going to grow. His kingdom is going to grow. The church is going to be strong. People's life will be changed, transformed, and saved. And we're going to have a sense of satisfaction on the way. Isn't that good? I'm going to ask the worship band to come and join me on the stage. And now let's go to verse 15 of the same passage. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. The way to victory is through obedience. It may not look like you were hoping for, but if you want to see victory in your life, the way to it is through obedience. You read the Word of God, you have plenty of descriptions to follow. You pray, you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you and tell you what to do, He'll direct you. He's a speaking God. He will speak to you because He loves you. The way to victory is through obedience. The first step to obedience is to dedicate your life to Jesus. That's the first step to start this journey. And if you are here, maybe for the first time, you're not even sure why you came. Somebody invited you, and maybe you saw the ad or something on social media and you said, let me try. Maybe you don't have that personal connection with Jesus, but you're looking for something. But there's that desire to find out what is the purpose, what is the meaning. Now is the opportunity to say, I dedicate my life to you. Or maybe you have been coming here for a while, but you're still sourcing it out. You're still looking around and trying to find out, is this real? Is this authentic? Or is this just a show? Try it for yourself. Don't stay on the fringes. Try it for yourself. Take the first step of obedience. Take the first step to victory in your life and say, yes, I surrender my life to Jesus. Try it out. Don't believe me. Try it out for yourself. Say, yes, I will be obedient to Jesus. From now on, my life is not mine anymore. It belongs to Jesus. Maybe you have been here for a long time, but you drifted away somehow. Life happened. And you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Now is the time. Now is the moment. Don't wait until the evening service because you don't know what happened between now and then. God wants you to start the journey to victory right now. So I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads if you can. Just to allow for a moment of privacy to people who sit around you. For a moment of connection between us and God. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to dedicate or rededicate your life to Jesus, on the count of three, I'll ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Now is the time to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. That was the best decision. That was the best decision. I know there is a person here or a few who are still considering, you just don't want to lift your hand. And it's not about the hand, it's about your heart. So I still include you in the prayer. And you still can make this decision where you're sitting and you can say, yes, Lord, I surrender to you. I invite you to be my Lord, to be my King, to be my Savior. And if you have made that decision, there is a next step packed for you at the back of the room. So just after service, please go and say hello to the team who is there. Please find out what is your next step with Jesus and with this church. And I want everybody now, you can open your eyes, and I'm actually going to invite you to stand to your feet. I want all of us to respond to God, because this word, this message is to all of us. God wants all of His children to live in obedience. He wants all of us to live a victorious life. So let's respond to God together. Let's put our hands in front of us like this. I don't know if you're used to doing this or not. If it's uncomfortable, even more so, do it. You need to step out of your comfort zone. If you're going to live in a comfort zone, things are not going to change. So as you stretch your hands like this in front of you, just start to pray quietly or in your normal voice. Start to pray a prayer of obedience, of dedication, Lord, I dedicate myself to you. Lord, I want to live a life of obedience to you. Help me follow every instruction that you give us. Help me follow your word, live according to your word. Help me hear your voice so I know the direction for my life. Help me, Lord, turn away from my prideful thinking and submit to yourself in an act of surrender. I do it right now. And I want-